evening, ladies and gentlemen. Michael Collins Piper here. It's Monday, June 25th, 2007. I am coming to you live. I guess you figured that out. Right here on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Coming to you from Washington, D.C. Well, there's going to be a continuation discussion, so to speak, tonight on this program of what we started discussing, although got a little sidetracked here and there. But we were discussing the subject of just how much power does the Jewish lobby have in America. How powerful is Zionism? Is it as powerful as we think, or is it just one of another of the power groups vying for influence in this country? You know, I always tell you folks, I'm damned if I do and damned if I don't. One of our listeners the other night took umbrage about the fact that when I compared the state of Israel and the Jewish lobby to a Rottweiler in a room full of much smaller dogs, when I made the suggestion that I've known some Rottweilers that are actually pretty friendly dogs that aren't as vicious as they seem, that particular listener who took umbrage with my comment took it to be that I was getting soft on Israel, that I was comparing Israel to a friendly Rottweiler. No, folks, I wasn't comparing Israel to a friendly Rottweiler. I was comparing Israel to a big, mean Rottweiler. And then I just added as an aside that although, in all fairness to Rottweilers, I've known some friendly Rottweilers. So no, folks, I haven't gone soft on Zionism. But as I always say, I'm damned if I do, and I'm damned if I don't. You just don't know what it's like, folks, to have to go on the air every night and have everybody that is listening reading nuances from their own perspective, reading nuances into throwaway lines. I was talking with my old colleague Tom Valentine about that today. I hadn't talked to Tom in a while. He used to host a 3-hour radio program every night, Monday through Friday, 3 hours every night, folks. And you know what he told me? He said, you know, if you pay attention to that 5% that don't like you or don't trust you, you're going to go crazy. Well, people said I've been crazy for years, so what more can I say? Well, folks, we are going to a break in a moment. We are going to probably get a call from Mark Glenn, who joined us on Friday night, and we're going to take your calls, too. Again, we want to focus on this subject of Zionist power. How big is it, and is there any other power that really rivals Zionism? I don't think there is. And also some shocking news about Christopher Bolin, formerly of American Free Press.
Catholic priest calls on Catholics and Christians to resist an unjust attack against Iran. Father John Martinez, a Catholic priest, speaks out to declare the Catholic Church's true teaching, that it would be a mortal sin for Catholic soldiers to attack Iran. In a 1-hour lecture, Father John Martinez warns about the Jewish plot to rule the world and to use the United States to ignite the flames of World War III by its satanic plan to unjustly attack Iran. He exposes that George Bush is Jewish and how Congress is controlled by the Jews. Father John Martinez gravely warns of nuclear weapons being used by the United States and the threat of the possible end of the world. For additional information on how you can help stop World War III, order Father John Martinez's CD entitled An Unjust Attack on Iran, available for $10 by Father John Martinez. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org. and click on our web banner for the address. In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com. Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits. No increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Michael Collins Piper here, live this Monday, the 25th. I hope you had a good weekend. Mine could have been more productive, but I got a few things accomplished. Okay, we have been joined by Mark Glenn. Mark, welcome back, as always.
Moses Collins Piper.
Moses Collins Piper. Yeah, I guess that's pretty accurate. You know, I went down to the American Free Press office today, and I got a postcard from Israel, postmarked in Israel, from somebody calling himself Dave, saying that that he's going to help the Mossad take out somebody or another. I forget who. I'm still trying to figure out who it is, but somebody obviously has a sense of humor, or maybe not a sense of humor. I don't know. Well, before we go to the depth of the show here, I do want to announce this item that just came to my attention this afternoon. Christopher Berlin, who is well known to regular and longtime listeners of this show, he was a former guest host on this show for 3 weeks when I was out of the country last year. Christopher Berlin was scheduled to show up in the court of Judge Hyman Reibman, maybe pronounced Reibman, today in Cook County, Illinois, for sentencing following his conviction on charges of assault and resisting arrest. Christopher apparently did not show up for court, and the judge issued an arrest warrant for him. Now, I don't know anything about it more than that, so I'm not really prepared to comment on it. It's entirely conceivable that Christopher fell ill and didn't make it to court. entirely conceivable that he fled the country. I don't know. So I'm going to withhold comment on that until I have some further information, but I do have some thoughts on it, thoughts that will need to be expressed. Anyway, Mark, to follow through with our conversation that kind of got sidetracked on Friday night, we were talking about this subject of Zionist power, and one of our callers, I believe it was on Thursday night, Bob from Texas, had suggested that maybe we do ourselves a disservice by overstating the power of Zionism in America. And with that having been said, I'd like your comments on that before we go to the break.
Well, as I think it was one of the things that I was able to get out on Friday, is I think I understand where Bob is coming from, that he doesn't want us to get discouraged by discussing it too much to the point that we become defeatist in our thinking, but at the same time, I don't think that you can overplay the importance of this in the kind of situation that we're dealing with today in America. I mean, it's like living in the 1920s Chicago and trying to say that organized crime is not as serious a problem as it really was. I think that in order for us to be, you know, I have a friend who's a doctor, and one of the things that he's always talking about is how important it is to be good diagnosticians. And you know, one of the worst things that a doctor can do is to underplay the seriousness of certain symptoms, because it would lead to a bad, bad diagnosis. And so the thing is that as uncomfortable as it may be, to discuss the issue of Jewish power in America and all the rest of that stuff, if we really entertain any hope in getting our arms around this gorilla and getting it under control, we have to look at this thing and to deal with it in its ugliest truth. And unfortunately, you know, I mean, all we have to do is look at what is going on in our own country today. You look at the war in Iraq. You look at the war in Afghanistan. We have three carrier groups parked right outside of Iran. It looks like we are getting ready to get involved in another war in Lebanon. You know, our free speech is being curtailed. The president has signed a personal directive that basically makes him king of the country in the event of anything that is considered a significant loss of life. And all of the thread running through all of these things is this thing known as Jewish power. So we cannot underplay the importance of this. To do so is like saying that cigarettes played no role in this guy coming down with lung cancer.
You know, as I just said in a conversation with somebody over the weekend, I had a very nice fellow call me at the recommendation of John Stadtmiller, and he wanted to talk about the subject of Zionism, and he's learning quite a bit about it since he kind of got religion or got political over the past few years. And, you know, I pointed out to him, and it's something I've mentioned on this show time and again, that there is a large accumulation of financial and economic power at a certain level in this country within, like, the Korean-American community.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly within the Japanese-American community, particularly on the West Coast, and likewise in the Chinese-American communities in pockets around this country. But in those three instances that come to mind, we don't see a consistent, hardline political agenda, one that is overriding, one that is so insistent, one that is so powerful. But we do find it within the Jewish community, particularly within the realm of U.S. foreign policy. And right now, U.S. foreign policy is where it's at, because the United States, in my view, and I think in your view, has never, ever been faced with such a crisis as it is today in the realm of foreign policy. And it all comes back, again, in my mind, to the power of the Jewish lobby, the Zionist lobby. It's not the Greek lobby or the Chinese-American lobby or the Serbian-American lobby or the Croatian-American lobby, certainly not the American Indians, and I'm here to tell you, certainly not the Vatican. So that's where I'm coming from.
Well, and keep this in mind, too, Mike. When we're talking about this control over our nation's foreign policy being in the hands of this foreign entity. The United States is not some third world country like some place that you'd find in Central or South America. You know, what happens with regards to the United States affects literally every human being on the planet. You know, there was an old saying that, I can't remember which way it went, if the United States sneezes, Europe catches a cold or vice versa, but the point in the saying was that where one is affected, it has a profound effect on the others. And, you know, the United States is in the position right now because of the fact that our foreign policy has been hijacked by this lobby. You know, we literally have the power to plunge the entire world into war, into economic chaos, into absolute misery. So this issue of our foreign policy being snatched, you know, by these greedy, ambitious people is not something that should be downplayed. I can guarantee you, based upon the news reports that I read and I'm sure that you read, that the rest of the world is well aware of the danger that is posed by American foreign policy being in the hands of this tiny clique of people, even if the American people are not aware of it.
You know, another point, too, that comes to mind, it should be emphasized, that although there's a lot of difference of opinion within the United States about a lot of issues, domestic issues, ranging from taxes to gay marriage to abortion to school busing to, you know, gun control, you know, the list goes on and on. You know, you could name 10 or 15 different issues. There is probably no other issue that binds all Americans together as to, there's no issue other than foreign policy that reflects the entire nation as a whole in the eyes of the world. There's no other issue that has the potential of bringing foreign opposition to the United States together as our foreign policy.
Yeah, and
so it's one thing that's central, is absolutely central to our national security. The only other issue that I can think of that comes close to that, but it's in a different realm, is the issue of trade, and then maybe in another realm, but another very important issue, and that is of course the issue of immigration. But this overriding issue of foreign policy has been the real issue of our time, and it has been really for the last 50 years, and things don't seem to be getting any better.
No, and keep this in mind as well. You know, these other countries may not be able to ever go to bat against the United States militarily, with the exception, the possible exception of Russia. But at the same time, collectively, what they can do to us in terms of trade and economics and all the rest of that, they could easily bury us. And we have effectively turned most of these people in the world against us. All
we've handed them the shovels to bury us is what we've done.
That's right.
All right, we're going to a break. And, Mark, we have three callers lined up already. So when we come back, we'll go right to the callers. Stay tuned, folks. Michael Collins Piper here with Mark Glenn.
Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. The J. Michael Stevens Group is shipping a lot of storable food.
It's smart that you're getting going at your food supplies. 1 week after the report came out that the world had eaten more food than it produced last year, the country turned into a deep freeze, wiping out a huge part of the new crop. An example? In 24 hours, clementine oranges doubled in price. If you intend to start or finish your supply, call immediately. When you call, tell them how many adults and how many years of food you need. When there are shortages, missing items will be substituted, maintaining the quantity of food necessary. Money is not the problem. Availability is. Be careful. When food supplies get short, with no future, many retailers ship real trash to supply you. For safe food you can trust, call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. 800-409-5633.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately one in four families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. This is Michael Collins Piper coming to you from Washington here on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We've been joined by Mark Glenn. Check out his website at crescentandcross.com. And you can also find his writings on a regular basis in American Free Press. And the website for American Free Press is AmericanFreePress.net. Okay, Mark, you're there, I guess.
I am indeed.
Okay, we're going to go to our callers. Let's go, first of all, to Country Boy in Indiana. Country Boy, come on up.
In response to what you're talking about, I want to know where or who is the alternate view to Zionism. Besides you and Tex Mars, I don't know anybody that is regularly on this subject, much less touch it.
Well, that's a very good question. I mean, it's the subject that I talk and write about most, because it's probably the subject that I have talked and written about most in my career. It's what I've focused on. Mark Glenn has seen my personal library, and he knows that it's pretty much devoted to that subject, but with a lot of other things involved. So I guess I don't know what to say to that, Country Boy.
Well, that's the question to be answered if they don't believe that the status quo is all one-sided. There's a college professor in South Bend who tried to teach a class on the Jew, and that thing was stopped. You know, whenever they advertised it, that class was stopped before it ever got taught. And if you go out and you try and express an alternate or an opposing view to the Zionist status quo, you will find out that it's not imaginary.
You know, it's funny you bring that up, because just a few years ago, there was a big hullabaloo being raised about the fact that there were some college students and college professors who were daring to take on Zionism. And, of course, everybody was then saying, oh, this was just so unfair to all the poor Jewish students on campus because they felt intimidated. Yet, for God's sake, for the last 60 years, they've been the ones who've dominated discussion of the Middle East and Zionism and Israel and Jewish interests on the college campuses. the first time somebody sticks up their head and says boo in the opposite direction, they're all of a sudden saying that, well, maybe we do need to regulate freedom of speech into college campuses.
Well, that's why the American Free Press and Republic Radio are the exceptions and the alternate, and it's unfortunate, though, that it's one, and there are other dissident radio programs, you know, but it's for a half hour maybe on rented time someplace, and if it's on shortwave, it doesn't come through that much. So, in other words, the reach of what they are saying is so small that it's a token resistance, and so it's not too positive, but since this is the topic tonight, that's what I wanted to say.
Well, I appreciate that, Country Boy. You know, it reminds me that a few years ago, when the Spotlight was still in existence, we actually set up a program to try to encourage people to set up their own independent newspapers in their communities around the nation. Now, you know, people might say, oh, well, wouldn't that compete with you? We thought, no, not at all. We thought, if anything, it would build up a bigger base for our newspaper and try to get the word out there through as many venues as possible, because we know damn well that not only the broadcast media, but the print media in this country as well is dominated by these same forces. So, I think the more the better. I don't look at it as competition. I say, hey, this is good. We have other voices out there.
Mm-hmm. There's also a question on two books here. One is, if I had a choice between buying one of the two, Jewish Supremacism by David Duke or The Fame of a Dead Man's Deeds by The Life of William Pierce, which one would you put your money on?
Well, I would definitely put my money on the Duke book, if only because of the fact that, you know, William Pierce was a good man, and he did a lot of good things in his life, but David Duke's book is the book that's on the issues and examines it very, very well, and I understand he has a new edition of that book coming out. So,
right.
A revised edition. In fact, someone just promised to bring me a copy tomorrow. So
right.
I'll probably be talking about it on the show here.
Thank you.
All right, thanks, Country Boy. All right, Mark, we're going to a break in a minute here, so I don't want to bring anybody up. If you had any further comments or thoughts about anything in particular here.
Well, as usual, Country Boy always says something profound, whether he realizes it or not. But, you know, if somebody were to announce that they had just written a new book bashing the Nazis, everybody would clap. A new book bashing the Vatican, everyone would clap. A new book bashing whoever, everyone would clap. But any suggestion of anything that is critical of Israel or Zionism or anything else, and literally the sky comes falling down on these individuals. And so for those who kind of scoff at the idea that there's this thing known as a Zionist conspiracy, or that, I read a press release today that Abe Foxman gave to the Jerusalem Post, where speaking with a certain amount of alarm in his voice at the rise of anti-Semitism in America, and that it was becoming more mainstream, that people were actually believing that Jews control the press and all the rest of that. And yet, this is the case. When you whisper anything in the direction of this, they come down on you like a pack of wolves. And that alone is proof that what we're saying is the truth about them.
Well, speaking of wolves, I hate to compare them to wolves because, you know, I'm really partial to animals and really partial to wolves. But be that as it may, I'm not saying the Israelis aren't wolves, folks. All right, we're going to a break. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Attention, this is an RBN Financial News Bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt, maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing, but they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com. Or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Michael Collins Piper here, talking with Mark Glenn and our callers about the what I perceive to be the very real reality of Jewish predominance in America in the realm of conducting U.S. foreign policy, dominating our Congress. Okay, we have a. I'm going to bring up our caller from Canada, Mike. Mike in Canada. Mike, come on up.
Hello, thanks for having me on.
Yeah, Mike, I want to ask you a question. You know,
yes.
Over the break, I'd seen you on the list of callers, and I was just thinking, you know, in Canada, I know there's quite a. You know, Canada is a big country land wise, but population wise, it's really not as big as the land. And. You have a very small handful of families up in Canada, like the Aspers, the Reichmans, the Belzbergs, and, of course, the Bronfmans still maintain a lot of power up in Canada. And I think, isn't it safe to say that Canada is, like the United States, equally or more predominantly influenced by a handful of Jewish interests?
Much more so. Because you can't discuss the effects of Jewish power and Zionism post-World War II, anyways, without bringing up the Holocaust. And it's a broken record, but I always have to return to that as the ideological thrust and the tacit agreement amongst most people, especially here, that that's just taboo discussion. Why would you even think about discussing an alternative theory to what happened in the past, and as evidenced by what happens here and Germany and elsewhere. I mean, that's the ideological linchpin that has certainly garnered favor and influence and a lack of criticism, and removing them from criticism as a group to bring this topic up in one of Mr. Asper's papers, well, it just wouldn't happen, nor any rational, reasoned discussion of the treatment of Ernst Zundel or other political prisoners, you know? So how can I ignore that power? And to bring it onto the college campus or the university campus inevitably is going to bring up revisionist arguments will have to come forward, and they can't. So there's that linchpin that suppresses a lot of things, despite the fact that we're so far gone now in the realm of foreign policy collectively. What's Canada doing in Afghanistan at the behest of our controllers and your army, et cetera? How do I avoid the Holocaust, though, without being a broken record, you know?
Well, you know, it's funny. I've told a story on this program one time. I made up a list of about five or six different things that people have said to me over the years when I brought up the crimes of Israel. You know, like if you bring up the attack on the USS Liberty, good example. You know, I can make all the allegations I want about Israeli involvement in the JFK assassination. That's just a theory, a pretty sound theory. But we know for a fact Israel did, in fact, attack the USS Liberty. We know they did it deliberately. We know there was a bigger agenda behind it. But as I said on this show one time, when I brought up the subject of something like that, the person I was talking to, they kind of gave me this blank look. And then, of course, they brought up the Holocaust. They
right.
said, well, you know, the Jews suffered terribly during World War II. Well, there's a real big disconnect there, Mike, between what happened during World War II, or I should say, what or what did not happen during World War II, and what is happening in our world today. And I guess that comes back to what you were saying, that this thing we call the Holocaust is being used in such a perpetual fashion to shoot down discussion of anything that even vaguely sounds critical of Israel or its lobby, whether in the United States or in Canada.
Well, sure. And to some people, I mean, even to bring up Israel's role in the Liberty, they might not come out and say it, but there's this silent accusation of anti-Semitism. You know this. There's just certain agreements that seem to be solidified that you would even bring it up, this Jewish issue. I find that predominant, way more predominant here. I doubt it's, obviously, I'm talking to an American radio station. We have nothing like this in Canada. You know what I mean? So there's, from the Liberty, let alone the Holocaust, there are already accusations of anti-Semitism waiting to be laid at you for wanting to discuss that. Why would you do that? And how entrenched that is via the media, the institutions, schools, everything. Yet Eli Roth, a Jewish director, can produce a movie like Hostel 1 and 2 that deals with elite hunting and rich people who pay to kill and slowly torture people to death. Could you imagine if the Nazis had to produce such violent films, how that would be used against them?
You know, that's you're absolutely right.
Just one more example of their poor toilet training, that they were degraded to produce such misogynist, I might add, and latent homosexual-type productions involving torture and death. A Jewish director can do this, and this is just one example, you know, for you, those people out there who are ready to throw darts at me for that. But there's more examples of that Jewish influence. And if the tables were turned, it would have been viewed as a sickness to produce such violence.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's a good point. You're absolutely right. I appreciate that. Mark, did you have any comments?
Yeah, just on that last point, keep in mind that one of the things that the Jewish lobby did when Mel Gibson was about to release his movie, The Passion of the Christ, is that they were screaming about how violent and how bloody it was, as if this one movie, amidst the thousands that they have made that have turned Western society into this sick, masochistic creature that it is today, as if this one movie would have anything to do one way or the other with it. But it's exactly what Mike said. There is a huge double standard here in play, and it's not, you know, this is one of the things that I try to point out in the things that I say and write, Mike, which is it's not just our politics, it's not just our foreign policy. This tendency on the part of people in the West, and by that I mean America, I mean Canada, parts of Europe, to always run to the defense of the Jews, to the point where they will willingly believe that this gorilla that's standing right in front of them is not there. This has penetrated every facet of our society. Every teenager, just about every teenager that you see today, you can see the effects of this. They're acting like their favorite pop or movie star or rapper or something like that. They have no mind of their own. They have no sentiments or affections of their own. And these things are the product of them having spent X number of years in front of the TV or behind a computer or listening to music that is predominantly produced by people running our entertainment industry who are Jewish. So these people are getting that worldview all the way across the board with everything they do, so that by the time they are ready to vote or to go out and act in some type of political way, they're already captured.
I agree.
All right, Mike, I appreciate your call. I have to move on here. Have John in New Mexico ready to come aboard. John, come on up.
Hello, gentlemen.
How you doing tonight, John?
I'm doing well. I wanted to make a suggestion, Michael.
Go ahead.
Yeah, the next time if you're out for a few days, I would suggest having Mark Glenn and Jim from Texas be the hosts of your show.
Oh, well, that's not a bad idea. I wonder what Jim from Texas would think of that.
I'm serious about that. I think that a lot of your callers, Jim from Texas and the gentleman that just spoke, Mike in Canada, are very articulate. And, of course, I like Mark Glenn.
Well, you know, I can tell you that over the past 6 months or so, I have actually gotten a number of emails from people saying, "Hey, you know, Jim is one of my favorite callers. He's got a fan club out there."
Well, he knows how to summarize complicated topics in a very short manner.
Well, he does indeed. He does indeed.
And the hosts at RBN are very good, but I mean, Jim is—I mean, he missed his calling, I think.
Yeah, you know, Jim has a way. He's got a way. I call him our resident cynic. He does have a way of encapsulating things. And you notice, I always end up saying, talking to Jim, I say, "Jim, I wish you were wrong, but I think you're right." All right, well, we'll think about that.
Hey, I've got a couple quick questions.
Okay.
Now, Final Judgment, I think it was a great book, one of the best, I think, of this century for American history. And I know you always say that you're a hack writer, which I don't really want to hear you say that again.
All right.
I think it's one of the most important books in the last 50 years.
I appreciate that.
And
I
one
agree.
Of the things that was in that book, one of the topics that I think was good was, and maybe Mark might know about this as well, is the Nixon and the IRS. There was about, 20 or 30 pages, wasn't there in your book about that?
Oh, well, it was about Nixon and Watergate, not the IRS, but Nixon and Watergate, yeah.
And Watergate, but the reason that he was being pursued was because he was after some wealth. He had wanted to investigate some of the IRS agents.
I tell you what, it's a little more. I didn't really get into that, but more generally, what Nixon was trying to do was clean house in the entire federal bureaucracy. Number one, and number two, he was determined to break the back of the Israeli lobby, and he was working behind the scenes to try to do that.
Well, are there any books on that Nixon situation that you can recommend?
Well, I tell you what, the one book that I gleaned a lot of information from was a book by Deborah Davis called Catherine the Great. That book has been republished. That's a book about Catherine Graham, and that book is cited and footnoted in Final Judgment.
Okay.
That's the one book that probably, from my view, puts the whole... There's a lot written about Watergate, but that book, Catherine the Great, kind of zeroes in on precisely what was going on and how the Washington Post was trying to get Nixon.
Well, you were always good about having footnotes, and I know Mark's a writer too. And I was reading a good book The Synagogue of Satan. I know you're familiar with it.
Good book, yeah.
We were on Tex Mars' program, in fact, about a week or two ago, and I don't think you said anything, but I listened to it. It was great. But The Synagogue of Satan, it doesn't have very many footnotes. It's not like your book. I mean, it doesn't have any sources. Like, I'd like to see where, you know, to be able to dig down and find out where the sources are.
Well, I tell you what, I think that's a good book because it's a The Synagogue of Satan by Andrew Hitchcock, I believe.
Right.
Yeah, that book is good because it has all the history assembled, and a lot of that history, I would say, is readily available in a lot of sources, but it's never been put together like that. But he probably, in that respect, he probably could improve the book by footnoting it, but I didn't personally find that to be a problem.
I didn't think it was a problem. It's just for my own research, I wanted to know the sources so I could, read more.
Right, right. Oh, I understand what you're saying. Well, that's why I try to, in my writing, I do try to cite very specifically a lot of sources and a lot of things because it does give you the venue to move forward and look up the material material for yourself. But
now Mark has been quiet. Is he going to be willing to host your show if you take a day off?
I think he'd probably be willing to do that.
I'll get going now because I know you have other...
Yeah, actually, I do got to move on. Bob, I appreciate it, though.
Thank you.
Okay, let's move on here, Mark. Maybe when I'm going to be out of town for a few days in a couple weeks, maybe you can sit in for me.
Well, I think that Stanton Miller has got enough headaches to deal with as it is without adding me on.
All right. Well, I tell you what, we have a caller again from Texas. It's not Jim, believe it or not, but it's supposed to be Bob from Texas, and I don't know if this is our Bob from Texas that got this discussion going, but we're going to go ahead and bring him up either way. Bob, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
This is our Bob from Texas.
Yes, I'll try to be brief.
Well, go ahead. You say what you have to say, Bob. This is your show. You got it started.
Well, first, I want to say to Mark Glenn, it's not a question of understatement that I'm talking about, Mark. Mm-hmm. Second, you just said that I like Jim from Texas, too, and you said that many times you have to say, I wish you were wrong, but I know you're right, okay?
All right.
Now, just think about what you're saying when you have to say that so many times. What is he telling us when you say, I wish you were wrong, but I know you're right, okay?
Well, what do you mean? I don't know what you mean.
He's bringing up something that emphasizes the power of the Jewish power and the weakness, inherent weakness of our side, okay? Now, I want to finish up. I really want to get to the USS Liberty.
Go ahead.
This kind of sums it up a little bit. A couple weeks ago, you had some real live Liberty crew members on your show. And I actually was really upset because you didn't have the foresight to realize that what we wanted to hear was from their own words what exactly happened, okay? Instead, you said that you tried to steer it in the direction of... Well, all of my audience, they already know what happened, so, you don't really need to go into that. Now, that's my whole point.
Well, now, let me interrupt there for a second, because on the one hand, you're absolutely right. I did approach it from that point, because my general assumption, right or wrong, is that much of the audience does know what happened of the details. But if you listen to that show again, you will see that, in fact, I did encourage them to talk specifically about their individual, what actually happened to them. And the reason why I did that is because I got a caller who called in off the air and spoke to me.
I was that caller.
Okay, well then, good for you, because I did, in fact.
But I still, you said, please just take a minute or so.
Well,
now,
Bob, now listen, I have to interrupt you there, Bob, because you see, you've got to realize, Bob, I only have an hour on this show, and then sometimes during the breaks, we only have like a couple minutes between the individual sections of the show. So I want to emphasize to them that they have a certain amount of time. See, a lot of the guests don't know that the time that you have. See, so that's what I say. This is why I have this problem with so many callers and listeners, because they read too many nuances into statements like that.
Okay, maybe I read a nuance into it.
That's what you did, exactly.
You had to realize that I won't speak for anyone else, but I wanted to hear from their own lips exactly what happened with no kibitzing or coaching, and you should have known that. Now, I have one final thing, and maybe I hope this is a way you can describe, talk about it. I'm not saying it's not an understatement. It's you all are overstating it immensely. But today I saw a video on YouTube, and it actually showed the Israeli soldiers breaking the arms of Palestinian kids with big rocks. And what happened was, back in 20 years
ago... Bob, I think we're going to a break here, so hang on there.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, I do believe we're going to a break here, so we'll be back with you in a moment.
Stand up and be counted. Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist Bush's impending unjust attack against Iran. George W. Bush lied to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iraq. Now he is lying to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iran. The Catholic and Protestant clergy have failed miserably to come out publicly against the upcoming unjust attack of Iran. Therefore, the lay Catholics and Protestants should demand of their respective clergies to take a righteous public stand against this upcoming Iranian unjust war. Each one of us will render to God a strict account of what each of us did to stop these diabolical tyrants like George W. Bush, who, as roaring lions, go about the world seeking whom to murder. For additional facts concerning this upcoming Iranian unjust war, order the one-hour lecture by Father John Martinez entitled Stand Up and Be Counted. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on the web banner for more information and ordering.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the task force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, a penny saved is a penny earned. By doing nothing more than you're doing right now, because you've used your credit, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately one in four families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. We have Bob, the instigator of this program tonight, on with us. Bob, you were making a point about the Palestinians' arms being broken by Israeli soldiers.
Yeah, let me just finish this up for the reason I bring it up, okay?
Go ahead.
Okay. I saw this video that after the 1967 war, the Palestinians started throwing rocks at the Israelis. And I think it was Yitzhak Rabin, somebody in the IDF, that put out an order that all of the children, Palestinian children who throw rocks, their arms should be broken. And there are videos of them breaking, and until you see how they break an arm, it's really kind of repulsive to see them do it, army men doing it. My point is this: powerful people do not break the arms of children who throw rocks. And those children who had their arms broken then became suicide bombers, okay, as time went on. Now, my point is this: you can portray, yes, they have a lot of financial power. You can choose to portray them as powerful, or you can choose to portray them as weak. And I'm saying to you right now that a country that would break the arms of children who throw rocks is not a powerful people.
Well, Bob, I tell you what, I have to say that I think that's a very philosophical and insightful comment. I couldn't agree with you more.
You have to balance things out, Michael.
But I still think the reality of the power, the political power in this country today, the reality is that
there are two realities. Those broken arms are realities too. Don't just focus on that one reality. Balance it out, because what I learned on Friday was, I think you've got a lot of people from the ADL listening to your show. Okay. I really believe that there's a lot of Jewish people that are listening to this show, okay? And some of them are calling up, and I think they're pretending to be something they're not. Now, I could be wrong, just like people are wrong about me. But I'm just telling you that this show is getting a little too complex for me.
Well, I'll tell you what, Bob, it gets a little too complex for me sometimes, too. Well, I've got to go here, and we all have to go, but stay tuned for Rick Adams. Mark Glenn, thanks for calling in. Apologies to the callers we couldn't bring up tonight, but we will be here tomorrow night and into the very near future, at least, God willing. Stay tuned for more. Thanks, everybody.
A message for all homeowners and